Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is Exodus 20, verse 3. You shall have no other gods before me. There is no other God than the true one set forth in Holy Scripture. The false non-Christian religions have invented many gods and have made idols of them. Some religions are so sunk in heathen blindness that they lead people to worship trees and animals and evil spirits and pagan deities. None of the heathen gods correspond to the true God. From our mission fields comes the story of a heathen woman who went to a temple to pray to the goddess of mercy, whose idol statue had many arms. And she prayed that she might have a baby. The woman had a baby son, and she believed that it had been bestowed by the goddess. But always after this, the woman and her husband were afraid that the goddess would change her mind and would take the baby back by causing it to die. So they brought offerings to her and the other gods of the temple so the baby would not die. Also, they believed that the evil spirits would steal it or hurt it. And so they put out gifts for the evil spirits to try to keep them happy. And just to be safe, they dressed the baby boy like a girl and called him by a girl's name because they said girls don't have souls. And if the evil spirits think that the baby is a girl, maybe they'll leave him alone. One day the woman heard a commotion outside and some boys told her that a foreign devil with a long nose was coming. She was afraid that he would hurt the baby. It turned out that this foreign devil was a Lutheran missionary. He told the woman and her husband about the real God of mercy, who loved the world and gave peace and protection against dangers. He spoke to them about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to free all, both men and women, from the curse of their sins. And they turned to the true God and were baptized. There's another way of having other gods. Anything that is put ahead of God is really what becomes one's God. It is a sin to put oneself ahead of God, or pleasure, or loved ones, or possessions, or anything else. Another missionary, not a Lutheran one this time, had a good illustration of this. It was Hudson Taylor, who saw a man fall overboard into the water. He observed that no one made any effort to save him. A fishing boat was close by, and he, Mr. Taylor, tried to get the fishermen to go out and save the man with their net. But they would not agree to help unless he gave them money. And not until they had gotten every penny that he had on them did they go. They pulled the man out in less than a minute, but by that time it was too late. He was dead. They had a God, and it was mammon. The Lord tells us to hold to him and to have no other gods. He must have first place in our lives. We must fear, love, and trust in him more than anything else. He does not want us to forget him, but he wants us to seek good things from him and to believe that he will help us in misfortune and distress. He demands that we recognize him as our Lord and our King and our supreme ruler. In some situations, Christians have had to choose between denying their faith and being tortured or killed. Fear of men may tempt them to give up their faith and their fear of God. But the Lord gives counsel to us in Matthew 10, do not fear them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. The holy God who hated the golden calf is angered by all disobedience. The person who defies the living God and rejects his will ought to be afraid of him and should seek to be reconciled with him. But there is hope for sinful man. Ancient Israel, hearing the Ten Commandments, knew that God made them free in the land of Egypt and saved them from Pharaoh and many evils and had promised to bless their nation. They lived in a relationship with the God of love and forgiveness, as is said in the reading that we had earlier. He is the God who had brought them out of the house of bondage. And Luther was so impressed by this declaration of divine love that he called it the gospel in the Decalogue. He knew that the Christian church is the new Israel and has also a covenant relationship with the Lord in which we can live and serve him. And we who are in the new Israel do not know and honor and love him under the name of Deliverer from Egypt. For us, he has another name, a much better name, Emmanuel, God with us, as Savior and Redeemer who has died for us. He has delivered us from the Egypt of the devil's dominion and from eternal damnation. The Israelites were to obey God because he had made himself known to them in love and had acted on their behalf and brought them into covenant relation with himself. Now he has acted for us and has sent to us the Savior promised to the Israelites, and he has brought us to himself in baptism. We fall daily into sin and disobedience, but the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. There is full forgiveness because Jesus died for us. We love the God of love, loving him because he first loved us. And so we are moved and strengthened to obey his commandments. We pray that in every hour of temptation, in prosperity and in adversity, we might trust God above all rivals and substitutes. And trust that he who gave us life and gave us a new life in Christ and has prepared mansions for us in eternal life to come will also uphold and provide for his children here now in this earthly life. He will do this in his own way, not necessarily in the way that we want or expect, but he has promised to do it. He will never leave us or forsake us. Fear, love, and trust in him above all things. Amen.